The content provided on this podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only.
Views and opinions expressed by the guests and or the hosts of Godless Longanisa are solely theirs.
While we do not condone misinformation and disinformation,
all details provided are taken from sources available to us at the time this episode is created.
Godless Longanisa makes no claim to accuracy,
completeness,
timeliness,
suitability,
or validity of any information,
and will not be liable for any errors,
damages,
persecution, or butthurt arising from consumption.
Proceed with caution. Hello and good day. My name is Dandan, and I'll talk more about that in the next episode.
Hi, my name is Angie, and I'd love it if you talk more about me in any episode.
Hi, this is Glenn, ang 7 inches ng Novaliches.
And my name is Gideon, ang geek astig ng Pasig. And this is Godless Longanisa,
the meatiest Filipino atheist podcast.
If it's your first time here, Godless Longanisa is a podcast about skepticism and critical thinking, humanism, and freedom from religion.
This is a safe place where topics commonly perceived as taboo are brought to the table for discussion, served with logic, reason, and facts. And yay!
Tell
this
me more
is a special
about this
episode.
Wait. Excuse me. Yes. Can we hear more about the 7 inches? Please elaborate.
Nakita ko na. Darot.
No!
Malamang nabusesyon nyo na sila. Allow me to formally introduce our special guest for this episode. He's a comic book and action figure enthusiast, and he's the best-selling author of Unang Putok. And together, they form the chart-topping Spotify-exclusive Creepsilog. Let's all welcome back to the show, the G-Boys, Gideon and Glenn.
Yay!
Grabe kasi introduction. Nakakainis. Thank you for having
yes,
us.
Yes, welcome back
Thank
to the
Dan
show.
Dan
and it's an honor to have you here.
Hi.
Parang nahiya.
The honor is ours.
I feel so overwhelmed kasi I'm the only female right now. But it's just, parang kinikilig ako na ewan. I can't explain it. MG! Parang na fangirl na ewan.
Oh, yes.
Hey, actually, kami nga kinakabahan. Kasi baka...
Ba't ganun?
Baka sabihin ng mga listeners ng Godless Longanisa. Ito na naman tumangat.
Uy, grabe ah. Yung ano ah, yung episode natin, yung collab natin, yung isa sa pinaka, ano, mataas na listenership ng show namin.
Kami lang din yun. Inulit-ulit namin play.
Inulit-ulit lang.
Or gumawa ng playlist na same episode tapos ulit-ulit.
Kinakabahan nga kami kasi baka wala kaming may ambag bilang ano, di ba?
Ano ba? Ang tagal natin itong ano, pinaghandaan. Sorry, kaninang umaga ko lang.
Hindi ka pa natutulog, no?
Eh, kanin.
Hindi pa.
Kanina ko lang na din natapos to.
Ah, you guys like to do the whole, ano, like photo finish.
Mm-mm.
I like it.
I think may mga taong ganun talaga, no, na they work best under pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and true.
I think we're one of them.
Yeah, I know. Halata naman eh. But, yeah. I'm sure the listeners will enjoy.
Oh, yes. Nonetheless, ano pat nandito sila Glenn tsaka sila Gideon para samahan tayo. Mm-hmm. So, ano bang ano dala nyo sa potluck natin, guys?
Ay.
Okay. Of course, Gideon.
Meron tayo niyan. Kasi, ito yung pag-uusapan natin. Kasi, di ba, yung may mga Kristiyanong namamatay habang nasa isang misyon para ikalat ang Kristiyanismo na madalas kinikilalang martyr. Sila yung mga bayani ng pananampalataya. So, tingnan natin yung nangyari kay John Chow. Kasi noong November 2018, pinuntahan ni John ang North Sentinel Island para ikalat ang mabuting balita. Ang lugar na ito ay sinabi niyang Satan's last stronghold. Pero, pinatay siya ng mga Sentinelies. Naging topic ng discussion yung nangyari kay John. Isa ba siyang martyr dying for the cause of Christ and salvation of the Sentinelese? Or is he a fool who deserved whatever he got? Join us, Dandan, Angie, Gideon, and Glenn as we discuss the case of John Chow, martyr or fool? Ayan.
Wow.
Fool na agad. Fool na yan.
De, bigyan natin ng chance. Sige, yeah, baka yeah, may mahukay pa tayo.
Napaka-judgmental
ko. Isip sa ano sa baon nila Glenn at nila Gideon. Sige. Take it away, Glenn. Gideon.
Oh, ay, ano lang kayo, but in any time you want. Para, yeah. Kunyari, meron kayong...
Ay, kami pa ba?
So, ang i-discuss natin dito, yung life ni John Chow and yung death na nangyari. And then yung aftermath, kung ano ba ang naging effect nung nangyari sa kanya. Okay. So, ano? Okay. Start na po ba tayo? Pass ba? Game Bye. Na ba? Ganyan.
Dapa na ako.
Dapa na po. So, si John Allen Chow was born December 18, 1991 sa Alabama. Pero lumaki siya sa Vancouver, Washington, near the Pacific Northwest. He was raised by a Chinese father, si Patrick Chow. Isa siyang psychiatrist who left China during Cultural Revolution. Tapos, ang nanay naman niya, si Linda Adams Chow, an attorney. Bunso siya sa tatlong magkakapatid. So, as a child, ang nakikitang may passion siya na ito yung pinagkakaabalahan niya. Outdoor adventure at si Jesus Christ.
Ay!
Ooh!
Hilig sa outdoor, dandan.
Si Jesus!
Dandan, relate much.
Hindi na magko-comment doon.
Outdoor fun pala si Dandan. Okay.
Pero with Jesus.
Mahilig. With Jesus? with Jesus?
Paano yun?
Imagine ko the mental image of Dandan in the woods with a Jesus-looking guy is just killing me right now. Sorry.
Papa-crucify ka, Dandan.
Ipako mo.
Bone mo.
Ayan. So, mahilig sila sa camping, yung pamilya niya. So, nung bata siya, one time nag-camping sila. Natutunan niyang kumain ng mga wild things not meant for humans. So, mahilig siya sa mga bawal, no? Okay? Tulad ng mga matitingkad na pulang berries, ganyan. So, mahilig din siya sa mga... mahilig din siya sa mga survival stories. So, one time, as a small child, nandun siya sa study ng airpot niya. Tapos, nakita niya yung illustrated edition ng Robinson Crusoe. So, ayun. Ito yung classic na kwento ng isang sailor na stranded sa isang deserted island. So, paborito niya rin yung Hatchet na sinulat ni Gary Paulsen. Tungkol naman ito sa isang bata na nag-crash landing sa Alaskan wilderness. Tapos, nag-survive siya doon. Lumaki siya sa isang Christian home. Ang pamilya nila ay miyembro ng Assemblies of God, isang international Pentecostal church whose members sometimes speak in tongues. So,
oh, wow.
Ooh.
So I'm not sure ano galing. Tongues like actual languages ba or quote unquote yung tongues ganun.
Gibberish.
Tongue action.
In the woods with Jesus.
he attended Vancouver Christian High School, a close-knit school with 90 students across 7 grades. So, may maliit na school.
Ay, wow.
Natural overachiever si John. Sumali siya sa iba-ibang clubs, charities, at iba pang mga extracurricular activities. Isa sa mga sinalihan niya yung Royal Chambers, isang Pentecostal scouting organization. Nakakuha siya doon ng Gold Medal of Achievement. Tapos, ang isa sa mga requirements para makuha yung medal na yon ay ang pagbasa or pakikinig sa buong Bible.
Okay.
Parang may gold medal na rin dapat ang godless niya, di ba? First our medal. Mahilig siya sa hiking at travel. At well-documented ito sa social media. So makikita niyo pa rin dun sa Memoriam Instagram account niya, John A. Chow, andun pa rin yun. So makikita mo dun lagi siyang hashtag wanderlust, ganun. Kasi iba-ibang mga location yung pinupuntahan niya.
May shirtless ba?
Ay, di ko sure.
Wala.
Di ko pa na... Ni-scroll ko lang
yung mabilis. Hashtag lust. No, hashtag lust lang yan eh.
Crush mo na naman. Dan.
No.
No?
Cute naman siya. Cute siya kasi, di ba?
Lahat na sige. Lang.
Oh. Sige. Sige.
Sa Facebook, mahilig din siyang mag-quote. And favorite niya rin i-quote si Jim Elliot, na isa sa mga missionaries na namatay sa tribe sa Ecuador ng mga Waurani noong 1956. Mm. Is it foreshadowing? Kasi mahilig din.
Elliot din ba yung ano yung missionary na kinidnap dito sa Pilipinas?
Ay, parang I'm not something sure dito.
Hindi ko maalala. Elliot din some or something. Hindi ko maalala.
So mahilig siya magbasa ng mga missionary stories kasi yun yung gusto niya maging. And,
ayun, and he still didn't get it? He still didn't figure out that a lot of them get kidnapped, get killed? Wala pa rin?
Wala pa rin. Hindi.
Okay, sige.
So marami silang similarities. Both share the desire to reach remote tribes with the gospel. Both are young when they died. Kasi si Elliot, 28. Tapos si John, 26. Both were from Pacific Northwest. Si Elliot galing Portland, Oregon. Si John naman galing ayon Vancouver, Washington. So si Jim Elliot is particularly known sa kanyang mga pithy quotations about willingness to quote-unquote burn out. Kasi galing sa ano Psalms 104:4. Ayan, basa.
Ayan.
He makes his ministers a flame of fire. Am I ignitable? God deliver me from the dread asbestos of other things. Saturate me with the oil of the Spirit that I may be a flame.
Ooh.
But flame is transient, often short-lived. Canst thou bear this, my soul, short life? In me there dwells the spirit of the great short-lived, whose zeal of God's house consumed him, and he has promised baptism with the Spirit and with fire. Make thy fuel, flame of God. So, ganun yung feeling nila.
NKJV, ano?
Bakit? I'm not sure.
hindi, archaic yung, ano, yung,
ah, yung
English.
He had me at oil.
May pagka, may tono ng ano na parang pyromaniac yung
actually I lost train of thought after oil.
Saturate me with the oil of the Spirit.
Yes.
That I may be the flame.
Gusto lang pala mong pamasahin
massage ito, pala.
Essential oils.
Sabi rin ni Elliot na quote, I seek not a long life but a full one like you Lord Jesus. Even the cover of his published journal stresses this idea. Kasi yung, ang sabi, at 21, he began an adventure that would require the ultimate sacrifice. Martyrdom, a speak adventure, whether we mean to or not, this is often the tale we end up telling. Yeah. So balik tayo kay John. Nagkaroon siya ng mission trips to Mexico during high school. So pagkabalik niya galing doon sa Mexico, nagbigay siya ng short homily. Sabi niya, we can't be lukewarm. Shifting nervously habang sinasabi niya yung homily niya. Sabi niya rin, we need to know how to defend our faith. Being personality ni John yung pagkakahilig niya sa outdoors and obsessed with pushing himself to the extremes kasi mahilig siyang umakyat-akyat din. Ay, parang ikaw, Dan.
Tapos
naka-scarf
lang. Enthusiast ako naman. Putang ilaw.
Topless na ka-scarf.
Pero may bag. Naka-backpack.
Saka shades. Yung mga listeners po ng Godless Longganisa, kung gusto nyo makita yung picture ni Dandan, message nyo lang kami.
They have receipts, apparently. They have proof. Oh.
Ito, yung sinasabi nila, Angie, yun yung, ano, yung 2015 or 2016 Borta era ko. Yung feeling ko ang borta-borta ko na. So, halos lahat sa ng pictures ko, sure, ano, gagawa ko ng paraan na mag-shirtless. But, that was the old me. I'm 35 now. So.
Shirtless Longganisa pala.
Utut! Sige rin, 35 ko na rin naman. Kaka-35 mo lang.
34.
Yeah. Photoshop.
So, it is inevitable na mapupunta siya sa linya ng missionary. So, una niya nabasa ang tungkol sa North Sentinel Island nung high school. Nabasa niya to sa missionary database nila sa school na Joshua Project. Sabi sa entry doon sa database na yon, ang mga Sentinelese ay extremely isolated. Pinagbabawal ng Indian government ang pagpunta sa isla. Sa website, suggest also dun sa website nila, praying for the Indian government to allow Christians to, quote, to earn the trust of the Sentinelese people and to, quote, live among them. In addition to, quote, basic medical care, the Sentinelese need to know the Creator God exists and that He loves them and paid the price for their sins.
Shucks.
Yun yung sabi sa entry. Mm-hmm.
So parang in a way, ginugroom na siya ng nung church nila. No?
I'm still leaning towards fools. Sige, go.
Okay, so quick history muna tayo sa North Sentinel Island. Kasi itong island na to ay isa sa mga Andaman Islands, isang archipelago sa may Bay of Bengal sa India. So dito nakatira mga Sentinelese. Although hindi natin alam kung anong tawag nila sa kanila, tayo lang yung nagbigay. Mga British lang naman, di ba? Pero yon Sentinelese.
Tayo yung British. Tayo yung British.
Ayun, sila lang nagbigay ng name. So we have no idea what they call themselves. So Sentinelese is an indigenous people in voluntary isolation who have defended by force their protected isolation from the outside world. Pinagbabawal sa batas ang pagpunta sa island or lumapit closer than 9.26 kilometer para ma-prevent ang mga tribes people from contracting diseases to which they have no immunity. Mm-hmm. Kasi dahil na rin sa effect ng island effect inbreeding, so mahina yung resistensya nila. So nagpapatrolya ang Indian Navy around para protektahan yung North Sentinel Island.
Checks out outdoors, mountaineering, inbreeding.
Loves Jesus. Mm-hmm. Likes to be shirtless on a mountain. Likes oil. Sige.
Parang hindi ko mag-aasan doon kami ni Janjo. Mm-hmm.
So ayun, protected nga ito ng Indian government. So bawal siya based sa ano to? Restricted area permit regime. Pero may nabasa ako din until December 31, 2022 in a major effort to boost tourism. Which is ito, hindi ko pa masyado na check 'yon, pero parang sinasabi nila na until December 2022 na lang yung law na 'yon. So, ayun. Nung November 2018, the government allowed researchers and anthropologists to visit Sentinel Island. So, sila lang yung allowed.
Okay.
Sabi naman ni John Middleton Ramsey na nakilala niya sa Israel, easy to connect with itong si John. Gwapo at nakakakuha ng mga atensyon ng mga babae. At ni Dandan.
Ako pa ba?
Maka-describe si John Ramsey, ha? May pagnanasa.
Pero sabi niya, John avoided romantic relationship kasi naniniwala siyang it will jeopardize his mission sa North Sentinel Island.
Ako, tama yan.
Mahilig mag-travel si John Chow. One summer during college, nagpunta siya sa South Africa para sa isang Christian soccer academy. Tapos, nung pag-graduate naman niya noong 2014, nagpunta siya sa Kurdistan para sa outreach sa mga refugees. And yun, nagpunta din siya sa Israel. Doon niya na-meet nga si John Ramsey. Ang United States, ang isa sa... hindi, sila talaga. Ang may pinakamarami pinapadalang Christian missionaries sa buong mundo. Almost 130,000 noong 2010. And most visible dito ay ang mga Mormons with 70,000 per year.
Yay.
Wow.
Mormon boys.
Ay. maraming training na ginawa si John. He did National Outdoor Leadership School course, trained as an emergency medical technician, and stayed in shape kasi mahilig siya mag-exercise din. Ay.
Sabi na eh. Mamaya matingnan niya.
He also worked as a ranger and emergency nurse. Sabi nga ni Ben na isa pa ding kaibigan ni John, ito yun, sabi niya, was it his faith? Was it his years of mountaineering and extensive emergency medical training? Probably all of this factored in. Chow was just the kind of person who inspires your confidence and trust. Isang gabi sa computer lab, sinabi ni John kay Ben yung quote-unquote burden niya na iligtas ang mga Sentinelese.
Adi, wow.
Ito pa, and I quote, "I was impressed immediately that this was something no one but God alone could relieve him of," sabi ni Ben. He had already heard all the arguments of why this was a fool's errand and would jeopardize any mission associated with it, let alone the lives of the individuals involved. This was a sacred trust for him that no amount of reasoning would wrest from his grasp. Yeah, sabi ni Ben.
Mm-hmm. Sad boy.
Ayan. So, noong October 2018, nag-secure ng travel visa si John papunta sa Port Blair, ang capital ng Andaman Islands. So, ayun, doon niya inassemble ang kanyang initial contact response kit. Ang mga kasama dito ay mga picture cards for communication, bandages, dental forceps para pang-alis ng mga arrows. May dala na siya mga gifts na tweezers, scissors, cord, safety pin, fish hooks, at syempre, ang kanyang waterproof Bible.
Wait. His gifts were all sharp objects?
Oh. Siguro parang simple machine M yung gusto niyang ibigay. Mga scissors, tweezers, mga ganun.
I cannot. Okay.
Scissors. Ano yung
may isa siyang nakalimutan na sana sinama niya sa
yun?
Sa M niya. Yung sana Kevlar vest para lang hindi.
Tsaka bakit may dala siyang pantanggal ng pana? Nag-expect na siya.
Oo, kasi reported naman na hostile ang Sentinelese sa mga pumupunta sa island nila.
Love it.
Mm. Yeah. And naalala ko lang, parang may nabasa akong somewhere na, ewan ko kung na-include mo to, Gideon, pero may fisherman na, actually fishermen yata sila, na nakatulog sa bangka, tapos inano dun sa island, tapos hindi na nakita yun.
Oh, no.
Hindi na nakabalik sila actually.
Oh my. So
nakatulog lang.
Mm. So ang ginawa para i-try ma-recover yung katawan na lang at least, kasi sigurado na sila na napatay or namatay yung fisherman, nagdala sila ng helicopter papunta dun sa island. Tapos ang nahita nila, kasi parang yung helicopter nahanginan yung certain parts ng beach, tapos na uncover yung nilibing nila na mga katawan. So, alam na nila agad na yung fisherman yung nandun sa beach.
Well, nilibing naman. Yes. To be fair.
Meron din dito kasi nung first na quote-unquote na discover, yung North Sentinelese na mga British. May name eh, nakalimutan ko lang, hindi ko lang ninote. Pero siya, ang ginawa niya, may kinidnap siya ang mga isang pamilyang Sentinelese. So, dinala niya sa Port Blair. Tapos, nung pagdating nila sa Port Blair, nagkasakit yung nanay at tatay, eventually namatay. So, ang ginawa nila, binalik na lang nila yung apat na bata, na anak nila, bearing gifts na lang ng mga isda. Parang binalik na lang nila sa island. Kasi nga, dahil nga doon, sasakit sa immunity nila.
Smart. Good job.
Kapalit isda. Nagnanay, tatay.
Oo nga
eh. Oh, well.
Documented ni John yung visit niya sa kanyang handwritten journal. And the result is a 13-page testament recounting his final days in fascinating and tragic detail. Para malessen yung risk ng accidentally infecting the Sentinelese, he entered in a self-imposed quarantine. So 11 days siyang walang sunlight. He prayed and he exercised. And he read The Lives of the Three Mrs. Hudsons, a 19th century missionary account. Yeah. Habang nakakulong siya, habang in quarantine. Noong November 14, 2018, he and some fishermen, na mga Christians din who agreed to help, set out in darkness for North Sentinel. And naiwasan nila yung Coast Guard na nagbabantay. Yung journey nila doon was illuminated by glowing planktons. So, sa paligid nila, may mga isdang tumatalon na parang, sabi niya, darting mermaids.
Dramatic, no?
Nagpaka-life of pie si Kuya.
Oo, life of pie ang dating. Maliwanag, hindi nila kailangan ng gasera. Ayun. So, they reached North Sentinel late at night and anchored nearby. Next morning, November 15, he made his first approach. Ayaw ng mga fishermen na lumapit pa doon sa island. So, ang ginawa ni John, he stripped to his underwear.
Ay! Ito na. Charot, sorry.
Naisip niya na pag siguro wala siyang suot, it would make the Sentinelese more at ease. Kaya siya naghubad.
Ang puti-puti na.
So he paddled a kayak towards the shore kasi may hila-hila din silang kayak. So, nung nasa shore na siya, nakakita si John ng hut kasama pa ng isang mga dugout canoes. As he paddled up to the beach, several Sentinelese, tapos painted yellow yung mga mukha nila, and speaking a language na, sabi niya, high-pitched sound came rushing out. Sila yung sumalubong, patakbo sa kanya. Tapos, sabi ni John, "My name is John. I love you and Jesus loves you."
Oh, amen.
Galing doon sa kayak niya. Habang nandun siya sa kayak niya. Sinimula na niyang string ng mga islanders, yung bows nila. Ready na silang panain si John. And nagpanic si John. Hinagis na John yung mga dala niyang isda na regalo. And then he, quote, "turned and paddled like I'd never have in my life." Okay. So later that day, he made another attempt. This time, umabot na siya sa island. He laid out more gifts. Nilapitan niya yung hut na he was chased from earlier. And about half a dozen Sentinelese emerged and began to, quote, "whoop and shout." So, lumapit si John dun sa mga Sentinelese para marinig niya yung sinasabi nila. At tapos, ang ginawa ni John, sinubukan niyang iparot yung mga sinasabi nila sa kanya.
Parang kung nagmumura pala sila. No?
Alam mo, yun nga. Nung pinarot niya, tinawanan siya ng mga Sentinelese.
I like those tribes people already.
parang naisip ni John, baka bad words nga or insults yung mga sinasabi sa kanya tapos pinaparot niya. Tapos, kumanta siya ng mga worship songs at nag-preach nang galing si Genesis. For a while, tinolerate ng mga Sentinelese si John. Sige, mag-preach ka lang dyan. Ganun. Then, may isang batang lalaki ang kumuha ng bow and arrow at tinira siya.
Ay.
Ng pana. Ng pana.
Ay, ng pana. Okay.
Ano ka ba?
Grabe ka naman. And, ang tinamaan ng arrow ay ang kanyang waterproof Bible na hawak niya. Inalis niya yung arrow mula doon sa Bible tapos binalik niya doon sa bata sabay atras. So, kinuha ng mga Sentinelese yung kayak niya. Kaya, hindi na siya pwede makabalik. Ang ginawa na lang niya, lumangoy na lang siya for almost a mile pabalik sa fishing boat.
Ah, fairness. Good job.
Bilang fit naman si kuya, kaya niya daw yan.
O nga, nakita ko sa Instagram, kahatingin ko lang.
Oh my God, na-stalk agad?
Na-stalk na.
Didn't even wait? Dan, ano ka ba?
Stalking can't wait.
You need visuals ba? You need the visual aid?
Oo. Keep the
Okay.
I'm scared, ang sabi ni John sa journal niya. Ay, hindi, sinulat niya, pero yun yung sabi niya. Watching the sunset and it's beautiful. He was, quote, crying a bit and, quote, wondering if it'll be the last sunset I see before being in the place where the sun never sets.
Dramatic mo, kuya.
Ito pa yung sinulat niya para sa pamilya niya. Na, "You guys might think I'm crazy in all this, but I think it's worth to declare Jesus to these people." Okay. Sabi din ni John na, "Is this Satan's last stronghold?" He asked God. "A place where none have heard or even had a chance to hear your name." Ay, kinakausap niya pala si God nun, okay, sa journal niya. Ayan. He decided to make his next attempt without the fishing vessel floating nearby. Kasi naisip niya na baka dahil doon natatakot kasi nakikita nila yung barko sa malayo. So, naisip niya na kung mag-isa siya, baka mas magiging komportable yung mga Sentinelese. And if the approach went badly, this would spare the fishermen from having to quote, "bear witness to my death." Yun. Para daw hindi nila makita yun. His journal makes it clear na ayaw niyang mamatay ni John. Pero inaccept niya yung possibility Ito yung sabi niya sa journal niya. I think I could be more useful alive. But to you, God, I give all the glory of whatever happens. He asked God to forgive, quote, any of the people on this island who will try to kill me, especially if they succeed. After dawn ng November 16, ang huling araw na nakita si John na buhay, sinabi niya sa mga fishermen na i-drop off siya alone. Alam niya yung risks pero he was determined to quote, save them. He left instructions sa mga fishermen para makontak yung friends, family, at colleagues niya, pati na din yung journal niya. And then, he struck out once more for the shore. The next day, nakita ng mga fishermen na hinihila ng mga islander ang wala nang buhay na katawan ni John along the beach. Nakita nila na inililibing na nila ng mga sentinelies si John. Sinabi ng Indian authorities na imposible nang makuha yung katawan ni John given the risks of confrontation. Ngayon, naging usap, kumalat na nga sa itong balita na ito. And nakakita tayo ng mga comments galing sa friends and families. So, an evangelical org na All Nations ang nag-train kay Chow. Sabi nila,
okay.
Okay, kilala mo ba to?
Oo.
Okay.
May mga church yan dito na andun yung mga artista.
Sabi nila, he was preparing for this mission since he was 18. And I quote, it was his life's mission to go to the island and share the goodness of Jesus Christ. He was not trained to deal with hostile population whose language he did not understand, pero he was trained to honor cultures and deal with culture shock. They described Chow as a martyr and expressed their condolences. Si John Middleton Ramsey naman, yung friend ni John, di ba? And fellow evangelical, defended John's action. Sabi niya, his motivations was love for the Sentinelese people. If you believe in heaven and hell, then what he did was the most loving thing anyone could do.
Hello?
And he also added, a lot of people have said these people obviously want to be left alone, so we should respect their wishes. Well, my ancestors were also savages that wanted to be left alone. I'm sure glad missionaries like St. Kilian and Boniface stepped up and were willing to give their lives, and that I don't live in a society like that anymore.
Okay.
John Middleton Ramsey, ano sinasabi mo?
Manahimik ka, John Ramsey.
Ito, galing naman sa tatay niya, si Dr. Patrick Chow, na nag-graduate sa Oral Roberts, an evangelical university sa Oklahoma. You would think na he would defend the death of his son to unsympathetic media and people from the internet. However, he called the religion, quote, the opium of the masses. Sabi niya pa, if you have anything positive to say about religion, I wish not to see or hear it. Sabi niya, his son's zeal was a long-standing point on contention that they'd agreed to not talk about John's missionary work. John is gone because the Western ideology, ito yung sabi niyang tatay niya, no? John is gone because the Western ideology overpowered my Confucian influence. He blamed evangelicals, quote, extreme Christianity for pushing his child to a not unexpected end. And he referred with particular bitterness to the Great Commission, Jesus' injunction that Christians spread the gospel to all people. Sabi naman ni Justin Graves, a pastor and a friend of John, also blamed evangelical culture for enabling John's death. John Chow was a good man, sabi niya doon sa Facebook post niya. In-stock ko to eh, si Justin Graves. He was loving, passionate individual, and I was blessed to befriend, and the loss of his light on this earth was devastating. But it cannot be left as a mere tragedy. His death brings to light a multitude of issues with evangelical views and hell-based ethics. So, until today, ang North Sentinel Island remains to be off-limits and ipinagbabawal pa rin ang pagpunta sa North Sentinel Island. So, ayan ang kwento ni John Chow. So, kayo ba? Is he a martyr or a fool?
A fool pa rin. Fool pa rin.
Actually, good job doon sa father ni Jan Chow. As in like, yes. Exactly.
Crush mo na naman.
Of course. Yung, kasi naiisip ko na somehow na-impluensyahan na rin or parang nag-convert na rin siguro yung father ni Jan Chow when he married Jan Chow's mom. So, yung train of thought ko is, nung namatay si Jan Chow, parang nahimasmasan siya ng mentality na hindi dapat sana mangyayari yun kundi dahil dun sa pag-adapt niya sa mentality or sa ano ba, sa beliefs ng evangelical Christian.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Diba? Especially from someone na nanggaling sa evangelical church. So, hugot na hugot ko lahat ng mga sinabi ni Papa Chow.
Ni Papa Chow. Okay. Can missionaries kind of, if an island is off limits and they're already saying, please stay away, they will kill you and you are probably going to hurt them with some kind of disease, wouldn't you want to just stay away? Because they're not hurting anybody unless you go onto their island. They're minding their own business.
Yeah.
They're not hurting anybody, technically, unless you come onto their island. Diba? Pinagtawanan ka na nga ng quote-unquote savages eh. They're like, oh, this motherfucker is so stupid, diba? Parang he's parroting us. Tapos, ganun, he still did it anyway. Parang, sir naman. You guys can't just leave them alone.
Yeah. Ang feeling kong pinanggagalingan niya, yung parang sense of adventure niya. Parang simula ng pagkabata niya. And now he has this challenge in front of him na pupunta ako doon. Ako yung makakapag-convert sa kanila. Honor ko yun. It's not yung sinasabi ni John Ramsey na hindi act of love. Adventure yun para sa kanya. And ano yun, bragging rights niya yun.
Parang rush, adrenaline rush niya.
Yeah. Again, this is parang long story about arrogance. It's humans playing God under the pretense of doing God's work. Hindi naman sila inutusan ni God dun eh. Diba? Sila lang naman nagsasabi na this is what God wants. Pero hindi naman eh. Sila naman nagsabi. No? Tapos ipapag-pray mo ng forgiveness yung papatay sa'yo. Sino ka to forgive? Ikaw nga may kasalanan sa kanila. Tapunta ka dun. Tinga sa'yo.
Pero doon din ibabalik din yung problema na kasi normal talaga to and I'm speaking especially coming from an evangelical church na grabe talaga yung pag-romanticize ng image ng missionary work. And by missionary work, hindi mag-send kayo ng tulong sa ano, sa mga nasalanta, ganyan. Ang missionary work na niroromanticize ng evangelical church culture is that kailangan na ma-save yung mga taong ito. Kasi parang ang end, yung ultimate motivation nila for doing this is that kapag na preach na yung gospel ni Jesus Christ sa buong mundo, sa lahat ng mga tao, dito na magsa-start yung end of the world. And gusto nila, ang isa rin to sa mga pinupush ng mga tao na kailangan na mangyari to para dumating na si Jesus Christ. And isa pang factor din yung hero complex na pinupush ng mga Christians na kailangan sila yung mag-save or kailangan sila yung gumawa ng paraan para ma-save din yung ibang tao. Which to Papa Chow's point eventually led to his son's death.
Yeah.
Yun. Tsaka may verse din kasi sa Bible na go forth and parang
multiply.
Gideon, help me.
Ay, sorry. yung parang ikalat ang mabuting balita, Eme.
Oo. Teka. And make disciples of all nations. Anong verse sa Bible?
Teka, sige. Isa-search ko. 2 Timoteo 2?
Timothy nga yata. Go therefore and make disciples. Matthew 28:19.
Ah, sorry, Matthew. Okay. Matthew 28:19? Ah, sorry, ano?
Hmm.
Okay. Ayun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there.
Hindi niyo ba makakonsider, ano, given that, kasi di ba parang sa Christians, ganun naman, ayun, yun yung sabi sa Bible na spread nyo itong gospel of Jesus Christ. Ganyan. Pero, ayun nga, yung sabi din ni Glenn na it's a point of arrogance kasi, naalala ko tuloy yung mga comics or meme yata yon. Alam mo yung mga kakatok sa pinto mo na parang, oh, we're here to save you. Tapos, parang ikaw magkatanong ka, from what? Ganun. So, ala, nakalimutan ko na yung comics na yun eh. Pero basta, pag, okay, hanapin ko na lang ulit.
From, ano, from hell, ganyan. Tapos, sasabihin na, ano, why would God send me there? Eh, to save me from me. Parang ganun. Ang ending, parang to save me from, ay, for God to save you from what alive, or something. Kalimutan ko rin.
And then, meron ba kayong any arguments para sabihin na hindi kasalanan nito ni John na he's a martyr for doing this? Parang ano lang. both arguments lang mabigay natin. Any arguments for that?
Ako, I'm mostly blaming the culture that he grew up in. Yung pagpapalaki sa kanya, na westernized din, na kailangan western people yung magdadala ng, magliligtas sa ibang nation, sa mga mahihirap. Tsaka yung romanticization din na kailangan kailangan tumulong and mabuti kang tao kapag tumulong. Which is not bad as a motivation in itself naman. Pero yung underlying issue doon is kahit naman hindi kailangan nung grupo na yon yung ng tulong na ibibigay nila, like nung perfect example na lang yung nangyari sa Pilipinas na they conquered the Philippines under the pretense of bringing religion, na kailangan sila yung na may dala silang tagapagligtas sa kanila, so in effect na binura yung mga culture natin, they treated us as slaves.
Mm-hmm.
So nakikita ko pa rin to sa culture na dinadala ng mga na bit-bit ng mga ibang Christian denominations na sila yung supreme group, so kailangan sila yung tumulong or sila yung magdadala ng salvation,
sila yung
sa
chosen,
ibang tao.
Parang ganoon.
Mm-hmm.
Na-curious tuloy ako kasi di ba sa sinabi ni John Ramsey na parang he's thankful na buti na lang mayroong mga missionaries na who risked their lives kasi nung dati, hindi naman daw sila Christian yung mga ancestors niya. Kayo ba, do you think na kayo din ba? Same sentiments din ba? Kunyari sa Pilipinas na mas gusto niyo ba na naging Christians tayo or hinayaan na lang tayo kung ano man yung kay Bathala, ganyan, kung ano man yung mga religion natin dati.
Mm, if I could bring it back, I would say go back.
Mm-hmm.
Kasi mas, parang, para sa akin ha, parang nag-regress pa tayo eh. The past was more fruitful, more bountiful, everybody had more of an equal footing as far as culture, as far as yung, not the wrong riches. I don't want to say riches, pero yung medyo may kaya lahat. They were a little more respectful of each other. We had the tolerance of LGBTQ+. Mm-hmm. We had, yes, we had deities. Yes, we had that belief. I think every culture naman had that. But nung time na yon, there was still a level of tolerance that we don't have anymore. So ngayon, we have to fight for that to come back. And then people don't realize, if you go back in the history, saan tayo galing? We had that. So why is it such a big deal now for us to fight for it? Kasi nga, someone came in, reprogrammed, and just remember, people were killed in the process pag hindi sumunod. In every takeover, people died. Yung mga lumaban. And this is all over the world. Pag hindi sila sumunod, they were either tortured or killed or whatever. How is that a good thing? how is that godly? Opinion ko lang ah, pero how is that right. a Christian thing? So, di ba, if it's by force, how is it through God's love? And I thank you. Yun na yun.
Ang perfect na sumagot nito sa question mo, Gideon, si Dandan. Dandan, kumusta ba nung time nyo nung bathala pa?
Puta. Magkasigidad lang kami ni Gideon. Masutanda pa nga si Gideon sa akin.
De, grabe kasi itong si John Ramsey, ano yun, no? Parang romanticizing colonizers.
Mm-hmm. And actually, ano, idagdag ko na lang din. Well, to be fair na lang din dun sa colonizers, well, I'm talking the Spaniards na, or Spanish colonizers natin. May in a way, they did give us some benefits doon sa pag ano sa pag-colonize nila sa atin. Inopen nila yung mundo natin to knowledge and education na available sa kanila. So kaya nagkaroon tayo ng mga Jose Rizal, nila Plaridel, yan. But that benefit pales in comparison dun sa harm na ginawa nila sa atin. And to Angie's point, may mga culture na pilit binura nung pagdating nila dito. Gaya nga nung mga babaylan dati, yung mga babaylan natin, mostly mga babae sila. And yung iba may mga transwoman na ano na babaylan, and walang kaso yun sa culture natin dati. Nung dumating yung mga Spaniards, na vilify ang mga babae at binaba ang estado ng mga babae, na kailangan submissive sila sa mga lalaki, yung mga babaylan binigyan ng imagery na either mangkukulam sila, masama sila. So alam mo yun, yung ayos na sana tayo, and maayos din yung relationship natin sa neighboring countries natin. Kaya nga tayo nagkaroon ng mga influence ng Chinese, Indian, Malaysian culture. And okay naman, in a sense, yung relationship natin. Then, the Fire Nation arrived. So, yun, diba?
So, siguro, ano, one redeeming quality. Ano naman yeah. natin si John kahit konti bilang ano. Kasi para ano, very focused siya sa goal niya. Nax, ang lakas pa ka rin doon. May goal ka, focus ka doon. Tapon lahat.
Iwan mo pamilya mo.
Iwan mo pamilya mo. Well, ginawa nga niya. Totoo naman. Iniwan niya. So, bilang determined siya na gawin itong false mission nga niya. Mission. Okay. So yun,
in fairness sa kanya.
Oh, diba?
Ako nga hindi ko magkapagupit dapat ako, hindi ko magawa, di ba?
Commitment, Dandan, commitment.
Oh, yes. Di ba? May commitment.
At least ginawa ko naman ng paraan, nagkulay naman ako ng buhok.
So, half commitment 'yan.
Okay, well, may any questions pa ba kayo, lingering thoughts diyan about kay John Chow?
In a sense na na-bring up din yung martyrdom, may naalala lang akong story, and medyo recent yung nangyari na story. So, malamang narinig nyo na rin yung story ng yung Columbine shooting.
Yeah. Mm.
Yan. So, sa Columbine shooting, isa sa mga lumabas na stories doon is yung shooter was heard talking to a girl na tinanong nung shooter na, do you believe in God?
Mm-hmm. Ah, yeah.
Do you still believe in God? Tapos, narinig yung babae na sumagot na, yes. Tapos, saka sila nakarinig ng putok ng baril, and later, nalaman nila na namatay yung babaeng yon. So, yung babae, nung nalaman ng parents yung story niya, na ganun yung ginawa, instantly became a celebrity amongst the Christian circle, and then na gawan pa nga ng libro, and naging parang ano nga ba, parang story siya for of inspiration sa mga Christians nung time na yon. So later on, nung lumabas na yung testimonies ng ibang victims, may lumabas na babae na sabi niya, siya daw yung tinanong ng lalaki na yon na, do you still believe in God? And sumagot siya, yes. And apparently, buhay pa rin siya. And turns, yung babae na namatay na sinasabi nila lang nagsumagot na yes, hindi pala yung story niya. Ngayon, nung nirefute ng mga tao yung story na yon sa parents and lalo na dun sa church nila, ang sagot nila is, to us, our little girl would still have replied yes. I mean, they chose to still believe the lie or na false narrative para lang masabi na may ginawang mabuti yung anak nila bago mamatay. And dito ko nare-reflect yung romanticization ng martyrdom sa lalo na very evident sa Christianity. I'm not saying na exclusive to sa Christianity kasi obviously may mga religious extremists din na gumagawa na niro-romanticize yung martyrdom na to. Pero yung at least dun sa illustration ng Columbine, yung martyrdom na yon, I'm saying na hindi nag-result to the girl pushing to want to die. Pero what if yung actual na babae na nagsabi na I still say yes, siya mismo yung binaril. Pero alam mo yun, parang andun na yung idea na bakit kailangan na mabida yung mga taong handang mamatay para sa paniniwala nila.
So in other words, what if somebody said no?
Mm-mm. Diba? Bakit sila yung mas maganda yung story, diba?
Yeah.
Paano kung sinabi lang no para lang sabihin para mabuhay sila or para maligtas yung ibang tao?
Add ko lang yan, it's Cassie Bernal. Siya yung sinabi, yeah. Do you believe in God? Yes. Kasi naalala ko yung kanta ng Flyleaf, Cassie, andun yung lyrics na yun. Tapos ang totoong pumatay ang totoong nagsabi na ay si Valine Schnorr who survived the shooting.
So well, dapat siya talaga ang anak ng Diyos kasi she survived, ganon. In that, if they want to think, oh, because she believed in God, edi, what does that say? Do you see what I'm saying? It's a very gray area na parang, well, she said yes too, but buhay siya. So yung namatay, parang how does it balance out? Where's the justice in that? Where's the logic then? You both said yes, but one survived, one did not. So did God love the other one more? I don't get it.
So wala lang. Kayo ba, do you think na itong missionary work, itong pagpakalat ng mabuting balita should stop na entirely?
To be fair, there are some people who are open to listening to the gospel. They want to learn more about it before they make a final decision about their faith. So I feel like if you want to listen to them, if they say, hey, you want to hear about the Bible, hear about Jesus? And if I say, alam mo, sige, tell me about it, then it's okay because I am a willing participant. But when you force it down my throat, it's a violation of my space, of my rights, of my own thinking. So as long as you have a willing listener, that's up to you guys. You have your own opinions. Let the person decide for themselves. But when they're not open to it, don't force it. Yan ang ano ko dun. Because it is arrogance. And it's like, why are you the one? Why can't it be another group? Why is it you? And what if this person needs to hear everybody to make a final decision? Be fair naman. If they don't want to hear it, let them go.
Correct.
Yeah, so
question Dandan.
Yes po.
Gusto mo ba ang missionary?
If done right, yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay sa iyo.
Oo.
Angie.
Kasi minsan masakit pag mali. Yung missionary work, yes, so masakit sa dibdib, sa loob. Mali, may missionary pag, work na tama yung paghahagawa.
Basta like, tama yung pagpasok. Diba?
Oo, tama.
Dahan-dahanin nyo kasi.
Kaya pag hindi mo na gusto, napapatalikod ka talaga. Patalikuran mo lahat.
Handa akong talikuran.
We laugh. I mean, the situation is not funny. It's just that sometimes you do have to also just like, what the hell were you thinking? Diba? Sometimes you make a joke out of it. Sorry
na. And frustrating na lang kasi. So, wala na lang tayong, well, andun na yun. Namatay na siya. Siya yung nagpumilit. Siya yung may kasalanan. So, nakaka-frustrating. So, tawa na lang tayo. Gagawin natin.
So, parang ang conclusion ba, fool, ganyan. Martyr or fool? Kayo ba?
From the first time na narinig ko tong news na to, my opinion hasn't changed. Ganun pa.
Ay, wow.
Ano yun? Ano yung opinion?
Yun na, a fool. Parang, this is the ultimate shoving down your throat kasi na-act eh.
Mm-hmm.
Ayaw nga nila, di ba? Alam mo namang ayaw nila eh.
Oo nga. Kasi pilit mo pa rin sa lala mo na rin. Nasusok ka na nga.
Naghanda ka.
Oo. Kasi ang hirap pag sinagad mo, di ba?
Oh, naluluha na nga sila.
Yes. You can't, throat. You're choking now on whatever they're shoving down your throat.
Choke on
wala
this,
na.
Bitch.
Kababuyan, kababuyan ni Glenn. Ang linis-linis ng show namin eh.
Charat. Ito mo yan eh.
But, yan, na-enjoy ko guys. Thank you for coming. And na-enjoy ko yung bit-bit nyo sa potluck natin.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Gid.
Sana may natutunan kayo sa kwento ni John Chow na wag munta sa mga isolated tribes na ayaw magpagulo.
Yes.
And wag magparot kapag hindi mo naintindihan yung sinasabi. Stupid move talaga yun.
The best is na pinagtawanan pa siya. Yung parang, they're not total savages if they can find humor in your stupidity. Alam mo yun? Yung parang,
ay, ito pa yung bonus sa kanila ha. Kasi the Sentinelese have always been believed na they cannibalize or they practice cannibalism. Pero nung nakita nga nila na nililibing nila yung mga patay nila. So, isa yung magandang sign siguro?
Yeah. I was gonna say that also. Yeah. If there are graves, malamang they're not roasting the people.
Or baka they just choose not to cannibalize yung mga outsiders.
Outsiders.
Pwede rin.
Marami yung meat.
Marami yung karne. Dapat tinugan. Charot.
Okay.
Sige. But why don't you guys invite our listeners to listen to your show and follow your socials?
Yeah, if you want to listen sa true crime, sa murder mysteries, tapos merong nagaganap na unpacking pagdating sa dulo, makinig kayo ng Cryptolog on Spotify.
Yes, we have episodes every Monday and Thursday. Pag Thursday, we read listeners' submissions to us, mga slide into our DMs episodes. So masaya din yan.
Favorite ko yun.
Follow nyo kami. Follow nyo kami sa Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Spotify, YouTube, LinkedIn, Bumble,
Gcash.
It's Cryptolog po.
Yeah.
Yan.
And thank you.
Alam nyo ba, dyan ako sa part ng Cryptolog ni Inggit. Kasi, kasha yung pangalan ng show nyo sa kahit anong social media platform. Kaya naging Goddess Chorizo kami sa Twitter at sa Instagram.
Kung palitan nyo na lang din kaya yung title.
Chorizo
na lang.
Chorizo na lang. Sige, baka pag-isipan natin.
Sausage pa rin. Sausage pa rin.
And so, thank you guys for joining us in this episode. So, if you enjoyed this episode and if you'd like to hear more episodes like this, do let us know. Hit us up. Painitin nyo kami. Hit us up in social media. We are Goddess Chorizo on Instagram and Twitter.
And on Facebook, we are Godless Longanisa.
And if you want to share your own stories or if you want to send us your reactions about this episode and any previous episodes in a letter form, send us an email, godlesslonganisa@gmail.com.
And of course, if you want to remain anonymous, you can hit us up on Curious Cat, Godless Chorizo.
Here we go. Again, thank you, G-Boys, for joining us in today's episode. Hopefully, maulit.
Yes. Ay, thank you din sa pag-invite namin. Na-enjoy namin. Yeah. Parang may kausap naman kaming iba, hindi lang laging kami.
So, yun. Abangan nyo rin yung, ano, sabihin ko ba? O sige, abangan nyo na rin yung, ano, yung Goddess Longganisa on Cripsilog naman.
Yeah.
A future Yay. Episode. Here we go. And that's it. Thank you very much for listening and hope to see you guys next week in another episode of Goddess Longganisa. This is again your host, Dan Dan.
And this is Angie.
Oh, kami din.
Oh, yes.
This is Glenn.
And this is Gideon.
God bless everyone.
God bless.
God bless you guys.
God bless. Thank you.